Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We appreciate you so much for joining us. Father, we ask your blessings upon us today, your wisdom, Lord. We thank you for your encouragement, O God. Lord, the days are drawing now, the ones you've told us about, and we're very happy about that, and you're speaking to us about it. We praise you for the victories that we have and the ones we're going to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome days. Well, I want to share something with you. I'm going to find it here in just a second. Yes, here it is right here. This is a prayer request, a powerful one I want to share with you. And it's today, there's a parallel faction between the government and the church. And this is one, a warning for us to pray for Donald Trump. It's all about him being harassed by a relative small group of people and what we can do to pray about it. Okay, this was given to us, sent to us by Warren Cho from Honolulu, Hawaii, and he got this on 7/24/18. So, thank you so much for listening. Warren said, I had a profound vision of the Lord this past Tuesday morning. I want to share the vision with you and prayerfully get an interpretation about it. Basically, I woke up in the morning and I had a little bit of time before I needed to get up, and so I just shut my eyes and kind of let my body rest a bit. And while I was doing that, with my eyes shut, I had a vision. And in the vision, I found myself hovering in the air about 50 feet or so above a bunch of people, a crowd, if you will. In the midst of that crowd was President Donald Trump. He was surrounded by about 40, maybe 50 people in front of him, around him, beside him, everywhere. Those that were facing him, about four, maybe five of them, were saying words to him, gesturing with their fingers, pointing at him, and with body language that was very aggressive. This was going on for a short while. Well, we can understand that most of the screaming out there against him is a relatively small minority of people that are getting more attention than they should get because of the mainstream media's bias. They're a bunch of hirelings. He said this was going on for a short while. As I am watching this from the sky point of view, hovering and looking down at them, the aggressive nature of their body language towards the president was picking up speed, and they were gradually moving backwards, if you will. While President Trump was taking small steps backwards, the group was moving towards backwards, and moments later I noticed the pocket of individuals that was facing Donald Trump became more isolated, where the other group started receding backwards away from Donald Trump. Well, you know, the president backing up from these relative few is what just happened, excuse me, with the Helsinki thing, and meeting, and you know, he started backing up a little bit. And I want to say that if he backs up, the large majority of people who supported him and put him in there and agree with what he's saying and agree with what he's doing will be discouraged, and they will back up too. And so we need to pray for him. We need to pray for him for backbone, which he has had a lot of. The Lord has really strengthened him to stand up with this onslaught And we can't stop now. We have to keep on praying because they want to bring him down. They want to slander him down. This is a bunch of factious people who are into gross immorality. And that's the reason they're crazy like that. They have spirits of witchcraft and faction. And yes, all kinds of fornication. And so as this was unfolding, this image of the receding of these people were unfolding. The few, a dozen or so, that were in front of him became more aggressive in nature in terms of their body language, and they were being more forceful. Well, so we can see, you know, that, you know, if they become encouraged, these wicked people, they become encouraged by the lack of support for the president, they will get worse. They are, you know, the mainstream media is losing everything. I mean, but they don't seem to care because they're so demon-possessed that it doesn't matter to them. They just keep on going. He went on to say, as the outer group was scattering outward, the small group was walking towards Donald Trump and his backpedaling, if you will, backstepping, became more profound. So you see, we need to pray for the support of the people around him who supported him. Don't let them be discouraged because he's made a few back steps here. But also pray against these people, that they be caught in everything that they do, which we've been sending forth the angels to make sure that this happens. And we know it's going to happen. We know it is happening. It's astounding, really. And the day of reckoning is coming. The Red Sea is coming. And don't worry about it. But just keep on praying and believe in God, right? The group of 12 or so in front of him became a smaller group, from 12 to 10 to 8 or so, and they're walking towards Donald Trump, and he's walking backwards. So this is encouraging because the opposition is becoming less and less. Let me tell you, people are fleeing from the Democratic Party, and what they've seen is this hijacked party that's been taken over by every kind of pervert you can imagine, and they're fleeing from it because they're just not that leftist and they're not socialists. They're leaving, okay, and that's good. And the other group of people are more away from Donald Trump. That's bad. We need to pray back his support to keep him going and keep him doing the things that he is doing so well by the grace of God. You know, God is giving us a little time here. One of our sisters here had a thing about Donald Trump giving away timepieces. That's what he's here for. He is here to give us a little time. We need 3.5 years to educate the church before the beast can take over and start attacking the saints. That the church needs to be built up in the biblical way, which is so far, far from, that the great apostasy of the church is why the world has no respect, and then we're seeing no miracles and signs and wonders out there. So we need 3.5 years to educate, to raise up, to gift the church to be strong for the attack of the beast and the harlot. Okay. I'd say this went on for a few minutes, maybe 10 or 15. Now, as this was progressing, all of a sudden I see a black African man in the forefront of that small group looking towards Donald Trump, and he became the front man. And while he was walking his way towards the front of his group, he also was aggressively gesturing with his finger pointing at Donald Trump. Throbbing him, poking his chest, and talking at the same time, and kicking Trump a little as well, kicking Donald Trump's shin a little bit. Not very forcefully, but just kicking like a tapping type of gesture that I was witnessing. And that continued on for a little while. Eventually, this black man became a one-to-one image in front of me, where he was standing in front of Donald Trump and the other half, a dozen or so people. were right behind him, a few steps behind him, doing the yelling and gesturing of aggressive nature and prodding their fingers and pointing at him. But the black man was the most aggressive as he picked up his pace in walking towards Trump. Trump is also at the same time walking backwards. Okay, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name that you give strength to Donald Trump to not back up, because the multitudes are for him, and these vocal few who are, it's depicted as a black man, but I'm quite sure that that's spiritual. This is somebody who's walking in deep darkness. And it's probably not an individual. It's probably a corporate body of people. But still, they're in deep, deep darkness, like a lot of the people are that are demon-possessed and coming against him. Now, he's not doing anything. He's just standing there, taking all of his finger-pointing and prodding and kicking and loud voices yelling at him. And he's walking backwards. And while he's doing that, eventually he fell. Okay, well, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to make Donald Trump strong so that he can stand and stand up to his enemies. And we send confusion in the camp of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that there's a parallel between the fall of the faction against Trump and the fall of the faction against the church. Both are going to fall and stumble. But we need to pray, Father, we do pray, Father, that you will hold Donald Trump up, that you will strengthen him by your Spirit, and that saints all over the nation and around the world will be praying for him, that this revival will spread. And Donald Trump fell on his back. As you know, sometimes the Lord gives us warnings, you know, that we can pray that this doesn't happen. And that's why I try to get these things out timely to people so that we can pray. And he laid there. The black man went over to him and kept on doing what he's doing. He leaned over Donald Trump and continued doing the same thing of pointing his finger, poking at his chest. The next thing you know, this black man is now kicking him. Not very hard, but kicking him. Kicking Donald Trump on his side, at his thighs, his legs. And he's doing this for, I'd say, maybe a minute or two. And then the small group that was behind him earlier joined the black man and started doing the same thing as him, but poking at Donald Trump, kicking him, cursing at him, and so forth. Now, I cannot hear or distinguish what words they are saying to Donald Trump, but by their body language and their gestures, you know, that it was not anything friendly, but very provoking and filled with anger. And it looked that there was a lot of hate involved in their body language. So they were doing that. Donald Trump was just lying there. He was moving a little bit, but he was not defending himself. He was not trying to fight back or telling them to stop. He was not doing any of that. So I'm still hovering in the sky about, I'd say, 40 or 50 feet above, and I'm looking at that, and I found myself getting closer. I could see Donald Trump's face clearer. I seemed to be drawing a little bit closer, maybe 10 feet or so closer, where I could see the details of their faces and their bodies, and there's no blood, there's no anything of that nature. So it's a vocal warfare here, right? Just that it was very aggressive and poking and harassing, and if you will, it was more like a harassing someone that was just lying there. And while I am witnessing this moment, the other group that was far behind initially, they're surrounding Donald Trump everywhere, and the prodding and the finger poking is still ongoing at this time. At the moment, I felt in my heart, in my spirit, I wanted to stop them. I wanted to get involved, but somehow I could not. I found myself not being able to do anything. I could not say anything. Nobody saw my moving up in the sky. No one looked up into the sky. And after I thought maybe someone would notice that I'm there watching them, But there is no sign of that. And I'm continuing witnessing this. I would say maybe it's been going on for 10 or 15 minutes. It's hard to put a time, but I felt like maybe it's 10 to 15 minutes. And as I'm watching this, I still feel in my heart that I wanted to try to stop them, but I couldn't. And moments later, I find myself starting to hover away from the group slowly, gradually being pulled away. As I'm being pulled away, you know, they're falling away at a distance. I didn't know where I'm going, but I'm being pulled up higher into the sky, and as I'm doing that, I see like a haze where their images or what I was seeing was getting dimmer. And as the picture got dimmer, I found myself with my eyes open, and I opened my eyes, and when I opened my eyes, I thought, wow, that was, what was that? What was this? That's a strange vision that I saw. So I paused and I went into prayer a little bit with the Lord and just trying to find peace of what I just experienced. And I woke my wife up and I told her what I experienced. For the first thing she said was, I think, wow, that's pretty amazing. I think you should reach out to your elders. And I said, I plan to. Well, anyway, this is what's happening. You know, a vocal few are making him backtrack on policies which the majority agrees with. This is causing the majority to be discouraged in their support and to back away. We have to pray for him for boldness and for courage to stand firm. I mean, if he's going to be standing out front there and taking all the abuse, somebody ought to support him. And it's the same thing with the man-child, folks. Somebody ought to support them, the Davids. I just heard a revelation about Donald Trump being a David. That was very interesting because we've had parallel revelations of the Davids being parallel to Donald Trump, and meaning in authority, even the real president. Did you know that the man-child ministry is going to be the real president? Because they're really going to be the ones running the country. Matter of fact, they're the ones that are helping Donald Trump to be who he is today and bringing down that faction that's in the government today. They're the ones that are pushing this. They're the ones that are leading this. This is something that is running parallel in government and in church. So, Father, we just put our faith together today. And I know the saints are going to continue on to pray whatever you put in their heart, Lord. But we put our faith together today, and we command Donald Trump to be strengthened in his mind, in his body, in his soul, and in every way possible. And Lord, that you continue to give him favor in every direction, even people, you know, converting from the other camp by the multitudes, until these people have no support. Much of their support has dwindled. And now you're giving Donald Trump the authority to appoint people to the Fed board, which is going to change the, I believe, probably change the economic system of the world. And Lord, I thank you that he is able to bring that snake down and replace it with something that will be more righteous and right for the world instead of letting these people, these elite, plunder the people of the world as they have. And we thank you for this wisdom, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless your people, to bless Donald Trump, and stand up from him, for him, and see that this is accomplished. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for it. Okay, now I want to... This is not really switching directions, because basically this is the same thing happening in the church. And the Lord is removing the stumbling blocks, and he's doing it in the world. You're noticing they're catching these guys. They're finding out how many of these people are spies hired by the last administration who was really anti-American and trying to bring America down. And these spies are being discovered, and all their works are being discovered, and it's all going to end up at the Red Sea. Okay. So I want to share some revelations with you about the good end of this. While I speak about the church faction situation, think about the government faction situation too, since they're running parallel, okay? So this first one we're calling Removing the Stumbling Blocks. It was given to Eve Brast on 7/26. She said, I dreamed I was in a building that belonged to UBM. There was a meeting place with a covered walkway that led to a kitchen with a clothing store attached to it. That's interesting. You know, the kitchen is where our spiritual food of the Word is being prepared. And the clothes are for those who obey the Word prepared. Revelation 19:8 says, and it was given unto her, talking about the bride. Eve represents the bride a lot because of her name. She was the bride of the first Adam. And so she's representing, in parallel, the bride of the last Adam, right? So, and it was given unto her, the bride, that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, how do you know if acts are righteous? Because they agree with the Word. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Okay. So therefore, people who eat at this kitchen are putting on that clothing. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, right? So we're talking about putting on works, actions of Christ. We are coming into His image. It's only right that we do His works, right? So she said, I walked from the meeting place over to the kitchen where David was standing. Yeah, because I do contribute a lot towards the... But this could represent the larger David too, in which I believe that all of our ministry is fulfilling this task. Okay, so and it's to prepare the kitchen. It's the main thing, you know. Our website, the videos, all these things that the faction fights so hard against and is so afraid of. Because of the spirits that are in them, not because they are that way, but because of the demons that are in them, they want to tear it down. And of course, they tore Jesus down. He died, He was resurrected, along with His ministry, by the way, His man-child ministry. And now the same thing is happening. History is repeating. So he went on to say, I noticed a place behind the washing machine and the dryer. Now, what could they represent? Well, they're for preparing the clothes or works to be clean and righteous, like the bride puts on, right? Amen. On the wall, that is behind the washer and dryer, on the wall that had been patched over, and water was forcefully spraying from the sides of the patch. Okay? And I think this is representing the damage done by the factious so that the water of the Word doesn't reach the washer to clean up the works of the saints. They don't want that. It is those demons that are fighting furiously against that. They're being hurt. Their kingdom's being hurt. Satan is mad. He don't like what we do. And so he sends people that he uses, called the faction, to try to tear us down. But they can't win. It's not possible. And after this, I realized that I had stepped on a bunch of red and white children's Legos. That some mischievous children, that's what they are, children. They're not sons of God. Their children had spread all over the kitchen floor in order to hurt me and make me stumble. So, of course, that's what the wicked factious have laid a snare for the bride to make her stumble. But you know what the Bible says about those who lay a snare, right? They always fall into it themselves. Mm-hmm. Yep. Remember Daniel in the lion's den when the factioned against him, and when the trial was over and the angel had shut the lions' mouths, which we've gotten a couple of times about the faction. And then when Daniel was brought up out of the pit with the glory of God, they threw the factious people in and they were gobbled up, obviously. So this is true. I mean, they lay a stumbling block, a snare before the people of God, and they're going to fall into it. The thing we pray, because we love these people, we know them before they went crazy, is that those spirits are separated from them. It's a death. It's a spiritual death, because the spirit is separated from the soul and from the body. This is what we're praying, and we know that it's partially going to happen with the elect among them. I was barefoot, and the Legos hurt my feet, and I fell to my knees, and they hurt my knees, and then I fell the rest of the way until I was laying on a bed of Legos on the kitchen floor. Okay, so you need to keep praying for the bride, saints, you know, that they're doing their best to hurt, to bring down the bride. They will ultimately fail. The crucifixion does not bring down the bride. A crucifixion does not bring down the bride. Crucifixion is going to bring up the bride. They don't realize that. You know, they don't realize that they're a kingdom divided against itself and it will not stand. That's what Jesus said. So David was about 5 feet away from me. He did not step forward to help me up, but was encouraging me that I could get up on my own. Well, let me say, there is no physical way to help the bride to stand. It's not a matter of physical dominion. It's a matter of spiritual dominion. That comes by the encouragement from the spoken word of faith to the bride. The word, the dreams, the revelations, you know, that are being given to the bride encourage the bride to be able to stand up under the onslaught, even though this is a crucifixion for the bride also. And so on. So it is the word. This is not physical. So it took a little bit of time for me to move the Legos out of the way in order to get up from the floor without re-injuring myself. Well, think about it. Removing the stumbling blocks, Legos are blocks, right? Is what God is doing by separating the wicked from among the righteous through delivering them over to the faction. That's right. When God delivers these people over to this, you can't pray them out of it. You can't argue them out of it. You can't show scriptures. Nothing will deliver them until God says he's through. Okay. So, Matthew 13 and 40 through 43 says, "As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things," or all, actually, there's no things there, "all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity." There it is. All that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. He's gathering out of his kingdom. Does that mean out of the earth? No, it means out of his kingdom. Okay. "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear." So therefore, great trouble is coming for the factious people, as the dreams have shown, as the Word of God shows, so on and so forth. And this is, of course, to bring about repentance in a minority of them and a destruction of the majority of them. We'll share that in a few minutes. "After this, I went into the clothing store, and I was looking for a white woven linen top with colorful embroidery work on the front." And I believe that this is the bride who is seeking to put on the righteous works of Christ with the glory that comes with it. I had seen a tall, bearded man with red hair and a red beard washing windows with a dirty cloth on my way into the clothing store. So he's washing windows. Windows, of course, is a way for you to see out, and it's a way of having discernment of what's going on out there, you know. And he was washing it with dirty cloth, right? And this red hair represents Esau, who means red, right? Who hated his brother and was rejected by God for his faction against his brother. His seed, called Edom, was also rejected for the same reason that they are today. There are many Edomites in the church today. And so Hebrews 12 and 15 says, looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. See, because that's what's happened, is the root of bitterness, and Esau defiled his old family, his old offspring. They were rejected because of his evil that he passed on to them. And the factious leaders are just as guilty. They've done the exact same thing. They've destroyed their families. They've destroyed their friends. They have destroyed anybody that could be destroyed, who was permitted to be destroyed by God. And this, of course, has been for the end of cleaning up the church, delivering his people from people that can think and judge and be foolish in that way. Anyway, lest there be any fornicator, because that's a large part of this movement, is fornication, or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat or flesh, following after the flesh, sold his own birthright. He was the firstborn, he had the birthright, but he lost it, and he tells you here that it's because of the root of bitterness. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for a change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently and with tears. And there are some that will return to the Lord and to the kingdom when they have had their eyes opened to what they have done, and they're full of shame. They will return, but they will not have the place that they would have had had they not fallen into this sin. They will not have the same birthright, you know, if they return. Many will not return. This red-haired man was wearing a fake imitation of the shirt that I was looking for. That's interesting. They're putting on a show, aren't they? He was looking around like he was up to no good. Well, they're fakes. They talk the talk, but they cannot walk the walk, and are seen as fakes ultimately. It's all shown up. I noticed once I got into the store that there was a woman who had an identical imitation shirt on that the red-headed man had. And she was walking around shopping in the store, and I knew that they, meaning the two wearing this fake shirt, did not belong there. And we know that Father has been removing them so that their leaven doesn't leaven the righteous. She even went on to say, I couldn't find my shirt because I was distracted with the strangers in the store. True, the strangers have to leave the store. It's not for them. The strangers, meaning Edomites, they're strangers. I looked around and I found a woman sitting on a hospital waiting room bench from my living room in real life. Of course, Eve physically works in a hospital. She restores the wounded, so to speak, you know. And that's what a hospital is all about, and that's what UBM is to deliver people from the wounds and bruises that they've got from false Christianity and apostasy. I saw that she was reading a Sovereign God book. So I went and sat next to her and began encouraging her on what a good book it was and how helpful all the UBM materials were. Okay, you know how many signs and wonders we've had concerning those books, how that God's even multiplied them in order to get them out to people? I mean, supernaturally, there's no way that there is a witness against this book. The witness that God is giving is that this and other books are helping people to know the Lord. And he says, then a completely bald represents without submission, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? A completely bald, very tall man. I believe he's very tall because he represents a corporate body of the factious. Or an entity. In other words, he may not be a man, but an entity, right? And that's true because when you're dealing with the faction, you are dealing with demons who are strong to do the will of God. And the will of God, of course, is that they continue to separate from the church those that cause stumbling and those that do iniquity. That's what we just read. And he had gray skin. Well, they're dead in their sins. That's what gray represents there. He came and sat down on the other side of me on the bench. So she was talking to this woman, you know, giving her things that would edify her and build her up and cause her to grow up. And here is this demon-possessed whatever sitting on the other side. His presence was menacing and threatening. Sounds just like the people against Donald Trump, doesn't it? Yes. He began talking over me and trying to discourage the woman from reading the Sovereign God book. Even though these are people who may have walked with you and agreed with you in doctrine, they no longer have a conscience of the word or love for souls, and turn all that they can away from the Lord and his word. I looked up at his face and I saw that his entire nose had been eaten away by a flesh-eating disease that had also eaten into his right cheekbone and sinus cavity. Well, the nose gives a discernment of things that are unseen by the eyes or unheard by the ears. These are ways you discern from situations around you. But the nose, it smells smell. You can't even see smell. Their fleshly lusts have eaten away at this ability until it is gone. This discernment given by God till it is gone. Their discernment is all evil because the demons are given authority in them. He had an old metallic fake nose strapped onto his face to cover the area. Well, they always claim discernment. They always say, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me. They're very sure it's the Lord speaking, but when you know of their actions and you know of their understanding, you know it's not the Lord. It's their Lord. So they always claim discernment, but they never have it. He began saying that it was his mission to destroy David and UBM. Wow, we've heard that a few times. His mission, the demonic mission, is to destroy David and UBM. I told the woman not to listen to the man, and then I woke up. And I asked for a word for this dream, for the man with no nose, and my finger was on the words, the adversary. Well, looking at the context, it really didn't fit this at all, but she put her finger on the adversary. You know who the adversary is. The phrase here is what was important, since it is Satan in those who are seeking to stop the people of God from attaining to righteous acts. This body of people is the adversary. They are seeking to destroy what God has built, and they can't do it. They only, as we'll see in a few moments, are able to set it back until the right time. So here's another word given to Eve Brass on 7:11, and she called it, "Enter not into the gate of my people." And it speaks about the Edomites who joined with the beast to destroy the Israelites. And of course, it's the same today. These factious people join with the beast. They are a part of the body of the beast to destroy God's people. So Eve said, "I asked Father to show me what was going on with the faction and what he was doing." And that was last night, and that at that time it was 7:11:18, and that was before I went to sleep. He gave me this dream. I was at an L-shaped building that was a white business office complex with a large blue warehouse attached. Well, the white business office sounds like a righteous group of people. We are the building of God. And the warehouse, of course, is heavenly. It's blue. And God has prepared all this for the tribulation people, to raise up the tribulation people of God. And, of course, they want to fight against this. You know, the office complex, you know, where the business part is done, and the warehouse where those things are stored. You know, we've stored up much food for the people of God, all of which the faction took down totally illegally. Yes, they would go to jail for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. The entrance had a large porch with four large white pillars and 10 steps. 10 steps, I think, represent the Word of God or the law. Leading up to it, it had a glass front and glass doors. And Eve put in parenthesis, "our local UBM assembly." Yes, we have a group of very righteous people, and eventually they cause unrighteous people to show up like a sore thumb with fake clothes on. There was, and I'm not saying that there isn't a larger body of the bride. There is, right? But we're watching the parable on a smaller scale happen here. And there's a bride out there that's also overcoming these wicked people. Praise God. There was a courtyard with a dry, fruitless olive tree in the center, and low, thorny holly hedges around its perimeter. And that represents the factious leader hedged in by thorns, which is the curse. And that is what all of them are leading. They would like to have you believe that they're doing well, but they're all lying when they say it. They've destroyed their family, they've destroyed themselves, they even think it's normal. I was standing at the top step, or near one of the inner pillars of the porch, near the steps, and praying in the spirit and doing spiritual warfare. I was a security guard for the building, and obviously that's kind of the job Eve does, right, with her dreams and visions and warnings, and you know, she is pointing out by her gifts these enemies. And she said, "It's like the watchmen guard the gates of the city." That's true. It was her job to guard the city. Suddenly, I felt a very evil demonic presence enter the courtyard, and I became physically weak as all my hair stood on end, and it became harder to pray. I struggled to press through the oppression. Then the Spirit of the Lord touched me and strengthened me. He directed me to go over to the outer door of the warehouse, and I found that the evil presence had flung the door wide open with violence and had entered the warehouse. I was still doing spiritual warfare as I went to close the door with my right hand. So an opening of the warehouse was, you know, that's what they stole, right? The things that were stored up for the people of God. All that's being restored, and actually it's being born again. It's better than what it was. It's going to continue, right? And I believe we had a word today that tells us how long before the end time building of the bride or the house of God is going to start in earnest. Praise God. So I was still doing spiritual warfare as I went to close the door with my right hand. I began to feel physically weak again as it became harder to pray, and the evil presence flung the door out of my grasp again with violence. Then the Spirit touched me again and strengthened me, and I prayed with power and became stronger. I was able to close the door, and I kept my right hand on the doorknob with strength. So they obviously were able to get in and to steal that which was not their own. It's by far and away beyond grand theft. Yes. And so Eve prayed through and received strength to close the door for good. And I believe we have done a large part of that, closing the door for good. In fact, I don't believe they're going to know where their destruction is coming from. Well, nor would they believe it if we told them. Then I took my hand off the knob and it stayed shut, and I knew that I had the power now over the door and that I could keep it shut at will. Then the Spirit spoke into my mind from behind me and said, "Enter and subdue." So I opened the door with authority and entered in to search the warehouse. This is the blue warehouse. It was God's warehouse. It was His work. It's where He stored up stuff for the coming tribulation, kind of like Joseph was storing up the granaries, you know, for the 7 years of famine, right? That's what the Lord showed us we're doing. I then heard the evil laugh of a 10-year-old girl. As we saw, it was children's blocks that were a stumbling block, because they're in mind, they're children. Their depth of intellectualism is gone. They don't have any wisdom left. As the Lord complains about Edom, how they lost all their wisdom when they began to fight against Jacob or Israel, the church, right? I looked up at the rafters and I saw a creature that was hanging upside down from the rafters. It was a girl with long, stringy, dirty blonde hair and the wings of a bat. In other words, she's a night creature, a creature of darkness. She had a mouth full of sharp teeth. She spread her wings and flew down to stand in front of me. She was dressed in a yellow and green shirt and short skirt. She stood there smiling at me as I continued to pray in tongues. I knew that she had no power to do anything to me. She just stood there laughing and mocking me. I understood that there was no danger to me or to the warehouse from this evil creature, because it's God's warehouse. They can't really stop it. They can only delay. And this, by the way, is all written in the Scriptures, as we'll see. It was simply there to test, harass, mock, and bluff. At this point, I sensed danger approaching the courtyard outside. I went out of the warehouse and into the courtyard and saw dark clouds gathering over to my right. The winds were increasing, and the dry olive tree planted in the center was being blown and violently shaken. Yes, this is talking about a shaking coming to the factious leadership, who think that they can do something, but they can't do anything, as we can see from her witness here. Even though they had invaded the warehouse, the Lord sent her in to subdue. And I looked to my left and I saw a group of strangers. The strangers, of course, are not the people of God, huddled together over by the thorny holly hedges at the perimeter of the courtyard near the base of the steps. So they couldn't even get up on the steps, much less enter the building. And they were hedged in by the thorns. And the faction are encircled by the symbol of the curse, which is the thorns. They were all turned inward towards each other, trying to shelter themselves from a tornado that was coming directly towards the courtyard. So judgment was coming. They couldn't enter into the building for safety. Well, we know that the bride is the place of safety because she survived when the rest of the people of God were taken down by the beast, right? So they couldn't enter the building for a place of safety. Revelation 21 and 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then under the olive tree I saw a man that looked like my ex-husband, whose name is Rod. He was wearing a light blue long-sleeve shirt and a reflective vest. Like a police officer, he was acting as if he were directing traffic with his arms and ushering the tornado towards the strangers huddled in the courtyard. Yes, judgment is coming for them for the wickedness that they have done. And why was his name Rod? Well, because Proverbs 10 and 13 says, "In the lips of him that hath discernment, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." A chastening, a rod. His face inspired fear as I looked at him, and I knew that he had permission to judge these people. And I walked up to him and asked him, "What has brought these judgments upon them?" He answered, "Because their sins have opened the door." Yes, their sins did open the door to the warehouse, but it's also opened a door for them to be judged because they couldn't get in the building to be preserved. They had no Passover. See, to have a Passover, you must forgive, and they never forgive. Most of them have never forgiven since the time they were children, and that's the reason this is upon them. They haven't forgiven. They don't forgive. Because when you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you don't have a Passover. I asked Father for a word concerning this dream, and my finger was on the gate of my people in Obadiah 1 and 13. In context, 6 through 18. So we'll show you the larger picture here. Obadiah 1, 6 through 18. "How are the things of Esau searched?" See how exact when you ask for a word by faith from God and do it with your eyes closed, flip the Bible open, stick your finger down, asking God to answer, what does he say he will do? He says he will answer. How are the things of Esau searched? How are his hidden treasures sought out? They are sought out. We've discovered a lot of them. They don't even know it. They don't even know that we know and can prove exactly who they are and what they've done. All of the men of thy confederacy have brought thee on thy way, even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. You see, when you cause faction, you get it back. They that eat thy bread lay a snare under thee. There is no understanding in him. We call it the stupid spirits, because it makes them so unreasonable and so stupid. Shall I not in that day, says the Lord, destroy the wise men of Edom? And understanding out of the mount of Esau? Yes, he has. That's exactly what he's done. It's amazing. It's astounding. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one may be cut off from the mount of Esau by slaughter. He's taken their wisdom away. He's taken their protection away. He's taken their Passover away. They can't get in the building, which is the place of safety, and the tornado's coming. For the violence done to thy brother Jacob, who is a type of the church, Jacob meaning Israel, shame shall cover thee. So because of the way they treated their brother, the chosen, shame covers them. And thou shalt be cut off forever. Yes, that spirit of Esau is going to die. And in some places it will actually kill the person who has it. Right. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side. Other side of what? The other side of God's people. They stood on the side of the beast. They always fought with the beast against God's people. In the day that strangers carried away his substance, that's God's people, they stole from God's people, and foreigners entered into his gates. Foreigners. They're not God's people, notice. And cast lots upon Jerusalem, the bride, right? Even thou wast as one of them. They joined with the beast. They should have joined with their brother, but they joined with the beast against their brother. But look not thou on the day of thy brother, in the day of his disaster, and rejoice not over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither speak proudly in the day of distress. Did they do that? Yes, they did. Enter not into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. There it is. In other words, don't join with the enemy to invade them. Yea, look not thou on their affliction in the day of their calamity, neither lay ye hands on their substance. They did that. This is one thing that they do constantly. When they get in a position to steal, they steal. In the day of their calamity. It's amazing. God's got it all written in the book. And stand thou not in the crossway to cut off those of his that escape. And deliver not up those of his that remain in the day of distress. They're traitors. They're Judases. They delivered up Jesus. Just like Judas. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. And as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. So whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. Thy dealings shall return upon thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and swallow down, and shall be as though they had not been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those that escape. What did Mount Zion escape? They escaped the beast. They escaped the Sennacherib scenario, the Assyrian beast, the northern army. in Joel 2, right? They escaped. Who didn't escape? These people. The tornado is coming. And it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. You know, what did Joel 2 say? That he was going to restore everything that they had stolen from his crop, his people. They're going to possess their possessions. We're going to have everything that the church has ever had and more. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. Oh my. So who you can see here who it is that's going to bring down the house of Esau, the Edomites. And they shall burn among them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining to the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So the Lord in his people is going to bring this down. In fact, that's what this next revelation is about. It's about spewing black water that sputters out. Eve Brast, 7:13-18. I dreamed I was standing on a large body of black water that looked like liquid charcoal. This, as you will be able to tell, I believe, represents the thoughts, the life, the words of the factious people. About 150 yards in front of me was a large drainage cylinder so that the water couldn't overflow. You know how they cause an overflow so that it doesn't overflow the bank and cut the bank down, you see. I could see under the water at the bottom of the drainage cylinder was a U-shaped pipe that came up, back up to the surface of the water. That's the norm. I mean, that as the water reaches that level, it overflows into the pipe and it goes out, instead of cutting the bank, right? That's the way they're designed. It kept spewing up 20, so this is reverse. This is reverse. It kept spewing up 20 feet into the air, the thick black water. This is the slander, the lies, the perversions. And they all think it's right and perfectly normal. Every time this would happen, I felt disgusted and horrified. It kept doing it every 30 seconds or so, and each time it got less and less forceful and didn't go as high up into the air as the time before. I was getting really tired of watching this geyser, and I said, "When is this going to stop?" Yeah. Well, I can tell you when it's going to stop. It's going to stop when God is through cleansing his people, crucifying his people, cleansing his people of the wicked, the strangers that are in the building, right? That's when it's going to stop. That's what the whole purpose of it is. And to teach the leadership, the new leadership, the reformer leadership, you know, how to fight this battle. Because the whole church is going to fight this battle afterwards during the tribulation. After a little while longer, it really began to lose momentum and finally sputtered out. Well, all right, praise God. With just a few small spitting fits at the end, I was relieved when it finally quit. Well, amen. After this, the scene changed and I was in a car in the passenger seat that was being driven by a factious person. I was looking out the window as he drove me to an indoor mall that was a self-defense mall. They're very good at self-defense. If you defend self, self will live. Right? I was looking out the window as he drove me to an indoor mall that was a self-defense mall. I could see into many of the houses and apartments on the way and saw red Christmas trees in these places. So I asked him, Why do all these people have red Christmas trees in their living rooms? He said, Well, a lot of people are doing that. My mother has one in her house. He pulled into the parking lot of the mall and walked me inside. I had entered on the second floor and walked along looking into the different shops and observing the people who were all carrying weapons and swords. That's for what? To defend self, right? And all the shops had nothing but weapons and swords also. And I saw parents teaching their three-year-olds to fight with toy swords and encouraging them to have no mercy on their opponents. Does this sound familiar? That's exactly what they do. They do exactly what they do in the Middle East. They encourage their children. They give them weapons. They teach them to kill Jews, you know, kill Jews. They teach them how that they are not human and et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, that's exactly what the factious against the church do. It's a very competitive atmosphere, Eve said. I went over to the balcony railing and I looked down at the first floor. Over to one side, I saw a bald man in tan slacks standing on a small stage with Chablis and my two youngest sons, whose names represent reformers and prophets, right? And then there was two factious men, the leader of the recent faction and another. Being merged into one being. Chablis was looking over in the other direction towards an award ceremony that was taking place on the opposite side of the first floor. There had been a self-defense sparring competition, and they had saved the highest honor and award for last. Pretty neat. I'll tell you why in a second. The announcer said, And this last award, which is the highest honor, goes to Noah. That's Eve's oldest son. And Noah was, those are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, right? The highest honor goes to Noah for not showing up and participating. So he wasn't participating in the self-defense, right? That's what happens when you go to your cross, right? He wasn't participating. He got a reward for not showing up and not participating. And Noah stepped up onto the stage wearing a white karate uniform and leaned forward a little as the woman placed a very special and coveted sparring helmet on Noah's head. Yes. Everyone was shocked at first because the award had been a secret of the award committee. Yeah, yeah, I can see that, you know, because we know who's in control of that, right? And Chablis murmured something about, why are they giving Noah an reward for not showing up? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it does in the kingdom. We're not competitive. Let them scream, you know, let them do what they're going to do. But you know what? The Lord is the one that's going to stop them because His power is made perfect in our weakness, isn't it? That doesn't make any sense. She was very surprised and incredulous about it. But the bald man and my youngest sons acted indifferent about it. Yeah. Then I woke up. Well, this is very interesting. This morning I received for the morning meeting Matthew 27 and 14. And my finger was on wondered greatly. I felt this verse was connected to this dream. And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then saith Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he gave him no answer, not even to one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. All right, so what I want to share with you now is a revelation given to Sandy Shaw on 7/21. And it basically tells us that some are going to be saved. In a dream, the factious leader is in a room and the walls were black, meaning he has no separation from his sin. He is wearing very casual clothes, khaki shorts, white muscle shirt, white tennies. There were two men standing in front of him with black suits and black ties. You know, black ops, undercover people, right? Who are they? She said they looked like men in charge, both blonde and well-groomed. So these are the two spirits that seem respectable to those in this man's position, which is faction. And they are in charge. Faction and witchcraft is in charge. So it is in the government too, faction and witchcraft. The conversation had already started, but I didn't hear the first part. All I heard is this factious leader saying this: "This is my job and mission, to bring UBM down and David." Does that sound familiar? You know, this was not coaxed. This wasn't put together. They didn't know one another's dreams and all that, you know. Why is the same phrase being used here? Why is all this being given at the same time? So, Sandy said, I woke up and started praying. Well, you know, this is their only ministry and their great ambition to bring down UBM and David, right? And that's because, of course, the demons that are in them, that's their great ambition. They're fighting for their lives, right? They hate us because we've destroyed their works and their influence. Amen. As we were on our way to the next town, I got a strong urge to pray in the Spirit. Just a few seconds after I started praying, I had a strong feeling in my spirit, and I felt that something was being accomplished. Victory. Then I received a vision. This man was seated at a computer. He put his head in his hands. He shook his head, and then threw his hands in the air, and in disbelief said loudly, "What am I doing?" He came to himself. His Saul eyes were opened. The prodigal said, "What am I doing in this pig pen, eating slop? What am I doing? What in the world am I doing?" Then he threw himself back hard in his chair, shaking his head hard in that same disbelief. And this particular man has had this experience before. So, I brought my two-year reader Bible with me, and I trusted the Lord for a confirming word out of it, and I opened it up and put my finger down on 2 Corinthians 7:10, on, quote, "sorrow in our lives," unquote. And she said, this is the New Living Version. Verse 10. Listen to this. "For God can cause sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. He will never regret that kind of sorrow." We will never regret that kind of sorrow, it says. "But sorrow without repentance is the kind that results in death." How does this fit so well? Oh my goodness. A good confirmation that repentance is coming to a few. To me, this seems promising of God doing a work
of bringing this man to his senses and to repentance. And I thought I'd share this in case the Holy Spirit wants to use it for confirming or what someone else received or will receive by the Spirit. So, you know, Pam asked about the faction, and she got this by faith at random. 2 Samuel 8, 1 and 2. Listen carefully. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. You know, the Palestinians, you know how they fight so much against Israel. And they never give up. They're full of hatred. They're full of cursing. They'll do anything to kill Israel. And David took the bridle of the mother city out of the hand of the Philistines. Yep, he conquered them. And he smote Moab. Moab, as you know, was the same family as Jacob, right? Who factioned against their brethren, right? And he measured them with the line, making them to lie down on the ground. And he measured two lines to put to death and one full line to keep alive. And the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute. That is, the remnant, one-third of the faction, turned and served David, and the rest died. We've received of the Lord several times the story of Paul. The story of Saul, who became Paul. And you know the story, how he killed the people of God, but his eyes were opened to see Jesus, and he became the greatest apostle of Jesus, converting many to the Lord, speaking as nobody else can speak, like a Saul can speak, right? Because he's been there, done that, and now he's discovered how wrong it is. So we've received this several times about what I would say a remnant of leadership in the faction. We also received the prodigal son, who wasted his living with the harlots and ate with the pigs, only to come to himself and return repented to his father. So pray for them, brethren. There is a remnant among them that is going to be powerful in God. And there are the rest that are just the two lines to be destroyed. And Missy Pollock got this on the 18th. She said, I asked the Lord what he wanted to speak to me today, and this is what he gave me by faith at random. Daniel 11 and 7. And my finger was at the fortress. Verse 7. But out of a shoot, that's the man-child, from her roots, notice, but out of a shoot from her roots. Remember, a shoot from Jesse's root was David, a type of the man-child who conquered the factious Edomites and Moabites. Jesse was also part of a larger corporate body which David was born from. So notice, not only was David born from Jesse, he was born from Israel. And it's kind of like Mary. What does she represent? She represents Israel, and she represents herself. She is an individual who brought forth the man-child, and like Israel, brought forth the man-child. In Revelation 12, for instance, the church brings forth the man-child, right? Hence, we see here her roots. her roots, not his roots, but her roots. Because whenever you talk about a female, you're talking about a corporate body of people quite often. So let me say this again. But out of a shoot from her roots shall one stand up. And then Missy put in parenthesis, man-child rises up, is resurrected, caught up to the throne, and anointed. Shall one stand up in his place, who shall come unto the army, that is the northern army of Joel 2 and Sennacherib, right? And shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north. So, let me just say, the factious leader of the northern army is the king of the north. And shall deal against them, and shall prevail. There it is again. She said, before I heard the Bible study last night, I told Eve that I believed the Lord is saying that when the man-child is anointed, that's when the faction will be defeated, and I believe it will be through the mouth of the man-child. Yes, and many dreams and visions that we've had say this, and also context from the Bible. when David was anointed king, he conquered Edom. He put garrisons in their cities to control them, etc. Then I heard David say on the Bible study last night that, and this was last night back on July the 18th, that the defeat of the faction and the man-child anointing would be very close together. I was also seeing the same as David said, that it would defeat the church faction, apostates, and that same thing in the government. Yes. Who is, by the way, who is doing this? You know, in the government. People are giving a lot of credit to President Trump, but he's just a vessel. He's doing what he's able to do. And who is it that is helping him to stand? Well, it is the people of God who are praying for him. And God is hearing prayer. You slack off, you watch. He'll slack off. You'll find out it's not him. It's God, and it's the people who have the authority to pray and to do something. Right? So she said, the Lord, and I'm saying in the man-child, is going to defeat the northern factious army, and I'm saying of Joel chapter 2. And she says, I thank you, Lord, that it is done. Amen. Now, here's another one. Shalonda Kelton on 7:16. She said, in this dream, I was at home. I had found out that people from the Middle East were staying with me without my knowledge. Well, you know, the Middle East is embroiled in faction. It has been for a long time. So that's what we're talking about here. We are not to permit this spirit in our spiritual house or our corporate body house of the people of God. We're not to permit it. There are things you can do to do this. Obey the rules concerning relationships with one another. Love, not criticize, don't hold any grudges, don't judge, etc., etc. If you do, you will be kicked out. God himself will see to it. He will use the factious spirits to do it. So she went on to say, Mr. S.B., we'll call him, had let them in. This is a man who has been in some forms of faction against Christians and has really no conscience of the word, just as the factious spirits do to people. And when I found out that he let them in, I had to make them food so that they could eat. Well, we can't feed the factious spirits. They will destroy us. And through us, they will destroy all around us. And those from the West who are converted to radical Islam through their influence and teachings are a good example of this. They turn against their own country. They fight against their own country, etc., etc. They kill people. They now have the same spirit of murder that Islam has. What's happening in the government? Well, who did they buddy up to? Who did they sneak into the government as spies and everything else? Yes, they brought in that spirit. And guess what they do? They murder. And guess what? They're fornicators just like the ones they brought in. The worst kind. Plundering our children and everything else. The scene changed, and I was now by my house. And Brandy and Michael and David were there. They were using these brown, old-fashioned chainsaws. Chainsaw? Yeah. You remember the chainsaw massacre, surely, right? No, a chainsaw is for cutting down trees for wood to be burned, much like the wood, hay, and the stubble of the old life must be burned. And people are likened to trees in the Word, aren't they? And the falling of Lebanon's beautiful trees was a type of falling away of God's people. So, who is it that Michael and David and Brandy are cutting down here? Well, she went on to say, Michael told me to get mine so that they could show me how to use it. That is her chainsaw. They couldn't use my chainsaw because it had a password on it. Well, what do you have a password on? Your computer, right? That I had to type in order to use it. Well, my thought is that the computer can be a chainsaw to destroy the evil works of faction and the people who employ it, right? Yeah. This dream is an example of this. God is doing warfare through her because she typed in her password. She's doing warfare through her against this evil movement. All right. Shalanda is cutting down the works of faction. The dream changed, and I was walking on a gravel pathway, talking to the Lord. There was water everywhere. I saw some houses where I guess people could live in this area. There were huge spider webs on the water coming down from the clouds in the sky. As I continued to walk down the pathway, I saw a spider web in the distance that looked like it had a spider on it. By the way, this is a more natural understanding of this, but they've had these webs falling out of the sky, the people that, the elite who are doing the spraying up there, they're trying to capture people with these webs that they have falling out of the sky, this stuff that they're spraying on people, and dumbing down of the people and sickening the people and on and on and on. So that's just one side, but there's another side to this. It's really simple too. So let me read on. I saw a spider web in the distance that looked like it had a spider on it, and after that I walked past this huge spider web that looked like it had stringed lines coming from different directions to meet in the middle of the web. And I said to the Lord, "You're like that web coming at me from different directions until you get what you want." So I thought about this, and I felt like the Lord was saying, the World Wide Web is a place where God's people are going to learn much, but also the World Wide Web, where the factious join us and we must be careful not to let them into our spiritual house to feed them or let them catch us in their web. They have been likened to spiders because they try to catch a victim, especially on the web. And God also has a web. It is a net to catch fish with. Right? And Satan's helpers want to tear down that net, right? And that's what they tried to do. And then the dream changed, and I was walking in what seemed like a town area. And as I was walking, I saw this black girl with her friends standing in front of a store. Again, this is connecting the darkness and the wickedness of these people with the store, which is a symbol of Babylon, and it's buying and selling. And there was this guy coming from the left. He made a swaying motion. She made a swaying motion with her hips or something, and then she said something. And I think this is the Babylonish harlot that's waiting at the corners to capture the simple as they go by, you know, as in Proverbs. And she's walking in darkness and seducing the goats that come from the left. And they're quickly taken out. And I said to her, "Don't do that again," and started walking towards the right of the store. Amen. Walking towards the right, and don't do that again. Amen. I pray that it don't happen again. And then on 7:17, she got more. And this dream came one day before a factious leader sent slander emails to us. One day. Listen to the warning. "In this dream, I was with UBM in a building, and someone was talking and mentioned how that the factious leader was going to bring the faction to UBM. Mm-hmm. And it happened. The dream changed, and I was talking to Missy and Eve and something in a restaurant, about something in a restaurant. Well, our restaurant can be our materials on the internet, which we feed the hungry with, and we share with one another, and so on and so forth. But my family wanted me to go and eat with them, but I decided not to. This has been an allure for her to try to draw her away from what she needs to be doing, and the Lord is showing it to her. The dream changed again, and there was this big mansion with clear glass all around it. UBM, as seen by the world around, and also in Eve's dream, the clear glass. There was a party being held there. A fight had broken out, a faction, in other words. And someone was trying to kill everyone in the mansion. Yes, they are the ones that want to bring down UBM and David, right? Someone was trying to kill everyone in the mansion. So we know that the factious are murderers of the spiritual life with their slander and hatred that they pass out. A black girl who was trying to escape fell off the balcony and broke her legs. Then someone came and helped her. So what we see is that those who walk in darkness will fall from their self-exalted position. And Shalonda, this verse text came to Shalonda. 2 Kings 9:30-34. "And when Jehu, who was the reformer man-child, was come to Jezreel, Jezreel heard of it, and she painted her eyes." Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and attired her head and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Is it peace, thou Zimri, thy master's murderer?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. And he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." Yes, Jezebel has taken over parts of the church through the faction and the false revival movement. She was really big in that. And, of course, she should have been better to her eunuchs because they did not like her. I saw the black girl again, but she was standing outside in what looks like a city. And I believe this is Babylon, a symbol of apostasy. She had a red dress on that went above her knees, and she had red high-heel shoes on, and she puts in parenthesis Jezebel. Yes, I think so. And what I noticed about her was that she had a fake left leg on, but you couldn't really tell unless you looked closely because it matched her skin color. I knew from the previous accident of her falling off the balcony that she had become an amputee. Yes, the faction, when they fall, they lose their ability to walk in the kingdom. And the fall of the Jezebel companies is what we're talking about here. The dream changed again. In this part, I had a dream that my coworker, Sam, who is gay, had died, and I knew he was in hell. Well, this is very interesting that she brings us in here because there is a large movement of homosexuality in the faction movement. You see, when you judge, you get judged. You get turned over to these things. And I know I've had open visions of several of them, and I know that the last factious guy is in contact with them. So I was at what seemed like to be his funeral. People were crying, but Sam, being in hell, wanted the people at his funeral to be warned about being gay. Yes, he was there, you know, like the rich man, wanting to send for Lazarus and go tell his brothers, and don't come to this place, right? I woke up from that dream saying to myself, I have to preach the gospel to Sam before he dies. In the next scene, Sam was working in a restaurant making food. And I see Sam and I say to him, I have to tell you a dream concerning you. And I went to tell a factious man the same thing. I asked the Lord, I said, do you want me to share this vision with this person? The Lord gave me a positive answer to go and do it. And I'd seen him in a vision with three more factious men committing sodomy. And like I said, they all don't think there's anything wrong with this, you know. So the factious men both told me this, that they were in communication. The scene changed again, and I'm riding in a car with Sam, and he's driving. And I tell him about the dream and him being dead. Then I tell him about Jesus and salvation after I finish talking. And Sam tells me that I'm just not ready for salvation, quote unquote. And I said to him, I'm telling you this so your blood is not on my hands. And of course, this is a warning that you should speak to these people before these opportunities pass. I'm talking about lost people, not factious people. Stay away from them. Don't talk to them at all, because their words will be very destructive to you, and the Lord just commands us, have no fellowship with them. So as we continue driving, we pass under this trailer of a huge semi-truck, and I look up at the trailer, and I'm praying that it doesn't fall on us. It does fall on us, and Sam is killed, but I make it out alive. The dream changes again, and I'm sitting at a computer, and I get a message saying, did Lewis tell you to preach to him? That is, to Sam. I knew Lewis in the dream was the father. Did father tell you? In other words, to preach to Sam. Of course, you can see from the dream that's what he's saying, right? I figured I should wait until the Father gives me an open door to talk to Sam. And then I woke up. And I of course told her that I thought the father was telling her to talk to Sam. And anyway, she has a note here about Lewis. Lewis, it's a variant form in the Spanish Portuguese Lewis, Galician, Aragonese form of the Germanic given name Hudawig and Scholodovic, modern German Ludwig. The German name is composed of the words for fame and warrior, which may be translated to various, to famous warrior or famous in battle, famous warrior. Of course, that's the Lord. The Lord is the one who sends us to speak to people. And we should. We're warning people away from eternal death. People don't like me warning them about faction, but they don't understand what we know and see, and they don't understand that God gives these dreams to warn them, to keep them from the pit, as Job also said. Don't judge. Be forgiving. Don't be critical. And this was from Julie Teague, or Tige, actually, on 7/13. You see, all these are coming together, right? She said, I had a very short dream early this morning. I would like to share try to describe. I saw a lightning storm in the distance. Remember the tornado that was coming for the faction, right? I saw a lightning storm in the distance, and I was watching. I saw great bolts of lightning. They were huge, coming down from a dark sky upon some kind of large metal structure. It could even have been some kind of heavy machinery equipment, like a bulldozer or something. It appeared to be in a barren, desert-like area. I don't recall seeing anything else around it. Well, wait till I tell you a previous dream. So close to this one it is. This is exactly what's being talked about. And when the lightning bolts hit this metal structure, it was completely annihilated. As this happened, I saw coming towards me from it very brightly colored waves, like water of red, orange, yellow, colors of fire, in other words, coming towards me and surrounding and encircling me. And the feeling that I had was that of exhilaration, and I heard myself laughing joyously, and then I woke up. So they were in something like a bulldozer, right? And, you know, I wrote back to Julie, and I said, I believe that this is a truly joyous occasion that's being described here. The destruction of the faction movement, meaning its demonic stronghold, not necessarily all of the people, right? The movement to crucify the Davids and the bride, etc. This is like the resurrection, and very joyous. Judas has lost. The first faction in 2011 was likened in a dream to the leaders hiding in a tank, which is what? It's a bulldozer with a gun. Yeah, they were hiding in a tank. They thought this was going to protect them. You know, they were protected, you know. And in a wilderness, just like this, and they were shooting at me from cover. Their shots fell to the ground at my feet. I walked up to their tank and grabbed the barrel sticking out of the gun turret and flipped it over, dumping the factious leadership out on the ground with their mascot, which ended up being a mouse, a little beast, right? And they were still threatening to shoot me, but couldn't hit me, as I walked away smiling. And this one, I believe, is the last. And it will be destroyed. And the crucifixion is almost over. Praise the Lord. And I asked the Lord this morning for a verse, Julie said, for my dream, and he gave me at random Zechariah 10 and 11. And he will pass through the sea of affliction and will smite the waves in the sea. Remember, the waves are the peoples, multitudes, tongues, so on. And all the depths of the Nile shall dry up. Okay. Ah. Wow. Shall dry up. And the pride of Assyria shall be brought down. So, once again, we're seeing the Assyrian army representing the faction that's arrayed against the bride who is conquered along with their beast, the previous cities of Israel. And the scepter of Egypt shall depart. When did that happen? At the Red Sea. Okay. So we got a Red Sea coming for the government and for the church to take down those that thought they would take them down. Remember, Pharaoh thought he had them trapped. He thought he had them snared, but it was himself that was snared. It was himself that was trapped. And that's the way this is happening too. We're watching it happen. And we even know how it's going to happen. So, very interesting. Pride of Assyria. You know, the day before this, we received that the the latest faction leader was the king of Assyria, who was killed, and his 185,000 in the text in Isaiah 37. And when asking about this attack, we received by faith at random this same text where the king of Assyria was killed. There's three confirmations in a row right there. So, a couple of more interesting things. Debbie received this verse this morning, Ezra 4:19-24. And I decreed, and search hath been made, and it was found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Talking about the people of God and their city that was conquered, and they were building, so on and so forth. And the beast was, of course, seeing this, saying this. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the country beyond the river, and tribute, custom, and toll was paid unto them. Make ye now a decree to cause these men to cease. See what the beast is demanding? Cause these men to cease. What? Building the city. Building the house of God. No. And that this city be not builded until a decree shall be made by me. And take heed that you be not slack herein. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Then, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Cease what? Building the house. What just happened? We were caused to cease from building the house. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, the bride. And it ceased until, listen, until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. What is the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia? Remember that Darius went in there when Cyrus conquered Babylon. And we are now in the second year of Cyrus. Ooh. The 19th month of Cyrus in the second year. That's where we are. Cyrus the Trump. So the building is going to start. We don't have a whole lot left. The building is going to start. And the other day, I was told to go up to the top of our mountain. I'm only just a few feet below the top of the mountain, and I walked on up there and sat down on some benches that we made up there. And as soon as I got there and sat down and was praying, Eve sent me a text from Haggai. And it said, "Go to the mountain. Take wood. Build the house." Yep. I said, "We're working at it, Lord. We're putting together all the wood right now. That is what makes up the house, you know what, you know." And then Barry got this Zechariah 11:7-14. "So I fed the flock of slaughter. Verily, the poor of the flock, I took unto me two staves, the one I call beauty, the other I call bands, and I fed the flock." This is the flock of slaughter. "And I cut off the three shepherds in 1 month, for my soul was weary of them, and their soul also loathed me." This is talking about the faction. "Then said I will not feed you. That which dieth, let it die, and that which is to be cut off, let it be cut off." And, of course, they're not fed because they have no more interest in the Word. They don't study the Word. I've had them tell me that. We don't study the Word anymore. We like to play music sometimes. You know, it's nuts. It, just like, "Oh, this is the right thing to do." "Let it be cut off. Let them that are left eat every one the flesh of another." Okay, that's how God dealt with the enemies of God's people. Right? They fought each other. "And I took my staff, beauty, and cut it asunder, that it might break my covenant which I had made with all the peoples. And it was broken in that day, and thus the poor of the flock that gave heed unto me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, If you think good, give me my hire. If not, forbear. So they weighed me for me my hire, 30 pieces of silver." There's Judas. The Judases, the leadership of this flock of slaughter. "And the Lord said unto me, Cast it unto the potter, the goodly price that I was prized at by them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them unto the potter." You'll recognize all this. It was Judas, you know, and the money that he grubbed. And in the house of the Lord. "Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel." See, there's a separation of the faction from the people of God. Did you remember in Psalm 60:7 how that he said, "Judah is my scepter and Israel my dominion"? Notice the difference. The leadership. Judah was the leadership. That's what God is raising up, the leadership. Judah and Jerusalem, right? The leadership. "And Israel, my dominion." That is, who is going to be ruled over. So, Judas's greed and his faction caused him to be cut off. Here's another one. Shay received Nahum 1:12-15. "Thus saith the Lord, Though they be in full strength, and likewise many, even so shall they be cut down, and he shall pass away. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more." This is the people who he was persecuting. The faction is persecuting. "And now I will break his yoke from off of thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given commandment concerning thee that no more of thy name to be sown out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile." Speaking about the faction, right? And behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bring good tidings. See, after this is over, that's when this is going to go forth. The great revival is going forth. The man-child is there because the man-child has destroyed the faction. He trampled with his blood on his garment. Remember the Lord? Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace. Keep thy feasts, O Judah. Perform thy vows. For the wicked one shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. The faction is cut off. Okay, one more. Sue Gilbert got Job 39:19-25. Hast thou given the horse his might? Hast thou clothed his neck with a quivering mane? Hast thou made him to leap as a locust? The glory of his snorting is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength, and he goeth out to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear, and he is not dismayed, neither turned he back from the sword. The quivering rattleth against him. The quiver rattleth against him. The flashing spear and the javelin, and he swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the voice of the trumpet. As often as the trumpet soundeth, he saith, Aha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. The trumpet. You know what? We're coming close to the trumpet. Jeff had a vision the other day, last Friday night, the 27th, around 11 p.m. He said, I was outside viewing the full moon amongst a really cool cloud formation, and my camera or phone would not take the picture correctly or even look right. There were two angels in this cloud formation blowing trumpets. They were facing each other, and the full moon was in the middle. Remember the moon that the woman stood upon? Her position was the moon, and the trumpet was being blown towards the full moon. He said, awesome. The rays of the moon were extremely bright as well. Really cool. I would say so, yes. And then Marlene, I'm over time here, but Marlene had one about the Red Sea and how God rebuked the Red Sea and saved his people, parted the waters. They went right through, and Pharaoh, who thought he would do the same thing, was destroyed. Well, thank you, Father, for this awesome time together, and I pray that you'll encourage your people, that the warfare is almost over, and that the enemy demons that have plundered God's people will be thwarted. Thank you so much, Father, for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, saints, thank you so much for being patient.